Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. When I was in high school, my grandmother had just moved into a nursing home in between my school and my home, and so on my way home from school, I would often visit with her. And there was one day when I was visiting with her, we were going for a walk, and we saw this checkerboard, and so I challenged her to a game of checkers. And it seemed like at first she was letting me win. And then she gave me this look like, you're not gonna like what's about to happen. And I had three checkers in a row, so they were unjumpable and a blank space on the other end. And she was looking at me the whole time she did this, and she grabbed one of my pieces and jumped over the other two and said, king me. We both just kind of laughed about it. But in that moment, I realized my grandma had pretty much forgotten how to play the game. Which was hard, because I had remembered playing checkers with my grandma in her condo on that little patio, and sometimes, even back in third grade, sometimes we would spend hours playing checkers together. But my grandmother was dying of brain cancer, and as her memory started to fade, her memories of those nostalgic moments started to fade, her ability to play the game went away, and her world got just a little bit smaller. Because that's what memory does. Memory expands our world. It's not just a recalling of past events, but recalling those past events shapes the way that we see every single day of our lives, and it even shapes our hope for the future. And so when God commands us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, his intention is to fill up our memory with himself, so that we see him in the way we perceive our world, so that his knowledge of him will expand our worlds and shape our hope for the future. So I want to take a minute and consider the two texts that God gives us this command in: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. All the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God gives this command: observe the Sabbath day, and the reason for it is so that you remember your slavery in Egypt. He tells the people, remember the Sabbath day, so you remember exactly what Sabbath is not. You remember those days of bone-crushing labor stacked on top of each other with no break under a Lord that is not your God. And that you remember that the Lord your God rescued you from that with his mighty outstretched arm, that God has freed you from that life. To remember the Sabbath is to remember what God has freed us from. And in Exodus, God tells his people to remember the Sabbath on a different basis. He tells them to remember the Sabbath day because it was in 6 days that the Lord your God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested. It's a recollection of the creation event, that God sets everything in order, and at the end of 6 days, he stands back, looks at his creation, and says, "It is very good. It's finished." And on the seventh day, he rested. And oh, what a blessed Sabbath that was. On that seventh day, before Adam and Eve plunge creation into the depths of subjugation to death, sin, and the devil, on that seventh day, all of creation lives in perfect harmony with God and his will. Remember the Sabbath day is to remember what God has created his people for. To remember the Sabbath day is to remember what he has freed them from, and to give them a hope for the future, that they remember what he has freed them for. And as God tells us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, it's the same for us. It's to remember the freedom that God gives to us. It's to remember that Jesus comes on this earth and he carries out a liberation ministry. He frees diseased people from their diseases. He frees the demon-possessed from their demons. He even frees the dead from death itself. And he sets his sights on freeing us from sin and the power of the devil. And it's on a sixth day that Jesus looks out at his creation and says, "It is finished." And it was very good. And on that day, as he gives up his life, on the Sabbath that follows, Jesus would rest. He would be laid to rest in a tomb. And on that Sabbath day, all of creation would hold its breath as the worker of its entire salvation and creation was laid to rest. We would hold our breath as we waited to see if he would overcome evil, as we waited to see if his victory over sin would be vindicated. And then, on the eighth day, he rises with freedom. Freedom from death, freedom from sin, freedom from the power of the devil. And as we remember that Sabbath day, it's no accident that our pulpit is placed between day 6 and day 8. We remember that Sabbath day because we remember what we have been freed from. And we remember that that Sabbath day where Jesus lay dead in a tomb, it was the end of an era that points us forward to a new Sabbath, where Jesus returns, where the resurrection of the dead happens, and where we live in everlasting blessedness, righteousness, and innocence with our Lord. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. God fills our memories. He fills our memories to expand our world and build us up with a hope in the future. Remember the Sabbath day. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And there are a lot of ways to despise preaching and his word. There was this retired pastor at my congregation, and he was a guy that really, really knew his stuff. He knew his stuff a lot more than I did. He had studied for a lot longer than I had. And one day we got the call that he had gone into the hospital. And I volunteered to go see him because I had a little bit of time before dinner, and I figured I'll go in. I'm not going to tell him anything new that he hasn't heard before, so I'll read my Bible verse. I'll say some words. I'll say a prayer with him, get home in time for dinner. And the visit went pretty much exactly how I expected, and I get up to leave, and he says, "Oh, yeah, there was one thing I've been meaning to tell you." And I said, "Oh yeah, what's that?" And he said, "Jesus is not God." Well, I'm not getting home in time for dinner. And in that moment, I realized that by going into that visit, thinking that God's word was just going to be a little comfort in a time of hardship, I had a really small world. And by having that really small world, I had despised God's word. Because God's word intends to expand our worlds. It intends to expand our worlds, to fill our memories, to shape our perception of the world. And when God's word comes, sometimes it brings out hard conversations. The kinds of conversations that just don't get you home in time for dinner. And God's word that day intended to expand our world, to bring us from misconception to the world that Christ has us hoping for. Some of you are called to ministry. Many of you will receive calls in a few months. Others of you will be sent on deaconess internship or vicarage assignment. And you might end up in your ideal congregation where everybody just eats up every little word of God that you put before them, but probably not. You'll probably end up in a congregation where it seems like you're telling people the same words that they've heard thousands of times before. You'll probably end up feeling like you're just giving people a little comfort here and there to get by. But God's word is so much more than just a little comfort. God's word expands our world. God's word fills us up with memories of Him. It shapes our perception and it shapes our hope for a future until that hope overflows into the lives of the people around us, until we get to share that hope and fill the memories of others. Remember the Sabbath day, because it's that Sabbath day that is our entire hope. And it's by remembering the Sabbath day, by hearing God's word, and by living in it every single day and sharing it, that God shapes our hope for the Sabbath that He has promised in His kingdom. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.